Welcome tonight to our service. I have one phrase that came to my heart today, and it has to do with a question. Does the devil ruin lives? Yeah. Does he have a strategy to destroy and ruin lives? Like, that's a question. Yeah, the answer is yes, yeah, he does. So we can't talk about the devil strictly tonight. We speak about God and his grace. Louise, good to see you. Pastor Shibley has guests here from Saudi Arabia, I think. Good, welcome. Shay and his wife, very good. Turn now to, I'll draw a picture first. Is that in red? It's not up there. Okay, how do we do this? Okay. All right, I'll change that to white. Here's a man, and many times people feel like the life that I want to live is a life of comfort, of normalcy or ordinary living, or I just want a job, I want good relationships with people, I want to be able to eat every day and have love in my life and just have a good life. This is how many people think, and we understand that. But when Jesus came into the world, he was showing us something more, that man is actually made for God, and that actually he has it in his heart. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10, we have eternity in our hearts. We're actually made for God, to be worshipers of God. And actually it means that we actually seek another life. If you seek a life of faith, if you seek a life with the fear of God, then you give God your life. You surrender to him your dream, whatever that dream is, and people have dreams for their lives. What happens is when you find Christ, this is Matthew 6, 29 to 33, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then actually you get both. You have a possibility of getting for sure this one, because he said, seek me and you will find me. Blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they shall be filled. But it's also possible that you get this one also. You have a comfort that comes from this one. And when you have the comfort that comes from God, when you live in this one with that comfort, your job goes better, relationships go better, you have a gift of wisdom, you have application, you understand some things. You have love in your heart. You have optimism. You have faith. You have grace. Because life is not about the material world and the circumstances. It's about faith in God, who's in control of the circumstances, who is God Almighty, who we have set before our face. And how do we do this? So we have the Matthew 4 is the text we're going to turn to, and I want you to see that Jesus is constantly relating to the Father in his temptation. And there was real temptation that happened in the wilderness when Christ was there. There's a huge difference in life between somebody who is naturally minded and somebody that is living by faith. and the Spirit is filling him, and he is trusting. He is trusting in God, leaning not on his own understanding. He is acknowledging God, and God is directing his path in Proverbs 3, 5. So this is point number one. So I think you followed it. I think you got it. It's very simple. And you have to decide in your heart whether it's true or not. Is what I just said, is it biblical? Is it true? Is it real? Isn't that a good question? Because without God, I honestly believe that the devil has a great advantage over people to destroy and ruin their lives. Good people, honest people, sincere people, moral people, religious people. He has an advantage because there's something missing. If the man doesn't have God, then there's something missing in his life, so he can go, he can contradict the devil. He can contest the devil. He can deny the devil. He can resist the devil. But without God, how can I resist the devil? And how crafty he is and capable. The word that I want you to see tonight, I have a lot to say. I'm going slow, but we have two or three parts to the message. If you follow it with me, you'll see a story in the Bible maybe you've never read before. You're going to see something in the scripture about this word subtle, which is a word that is a adjective for the devil. He is very subtle, crafty, wise, sometimes translated Exodus 1:10. It's translated, the word is wise. The Pharaoh was saying, we have to deal with the Jews wisely. It's the same word for subtle. We have to deal with the Jews in a very crafty way because they could take us over. And so they made them slaves. They killed the firstborn male child. So there we have this word. It's used 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul was concerned that as the devil deceived Eve in the garden by being an angel of light, that the devil could take the church away from the simplicity that is in Christ and deceive and mislead the church. So he had what we could call his apostolic fear, that Paul was actually afraid that the devil could mislead and deceive the church by false apostles. You have false teaching, you have false apostles, there's another Jesus, another gospel, and there is another spirit, 2 Corinthians 11:4. So this is real meat for us tonight, Wednesday night. Aren't you glad you came to church to hear something? Yeah, that you can take home with you. Okay, so we're going to the scripture, Matthew 4. Verse 1. Let me get a couple of papers out of the way here. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God's plan for Christ. Christ to be tempted like us, Hebrews 2:18. Christ was to be tempted like we are tempted. Excuse me. He was to be encountering the devil one-on-one. Now, something to say about the concept of the devil. There are people that they do make two errors, like we have a spectrum. There is no devil. It's they make light of it. It's a joke. It's a Halloween costume, etc. And the other error is everything is the devil. Okay. People say, I coughed. It's the devil. There was a car accident. It was the devil. The devil's under the bed. The devil's in the attic. He's in relationships. He's everywhere. The devil is, well, there's something that we need to understand about the subject. He is a person, a fallen angel with incredible intelligence, incredible insight, and totally, absolutely evil, 100%. Every word that would come out of his mouth, he has some motive that is evil behind it. Also, how difficult it is to fight an enemy that you cannot see. That he can be anywhere in this world. He can be in your house. He can walk alongside you on the road. He can be with you at night. He is an enemy of ours. But because of our fallen nature, we are similar to him in many ways, but we are more capable of feeling shame and guilt and fear, and we hide our evil in darkness. We do it at night. We do it behind closed doors. We do it without telling anybody. We steal. We lie. We cheat. Commit adultery, fornication, unbelief, pride, and so on. These are all the results of our sin, which is parallel to Lucifer falling out of heaven in his rebellion against God and unbelief. But for him, he is saturated totally. We have some spiritual blessing because we are in a world created by God where God is. God is in this world. God visits us. God anoints the unbeliever. His prayer can be heard by God. Cornelius's prayer was. The unbeliever could walk into the presence of God. The unbeliever can look up into the cosmos and marvel and worship God who made it in Romans 1, verse 20. So the world is evil in its ultimate strategy that is designed by the devil and his fallen demons and targeting our lives to ruin our lives and take us to hell. To destroy, ruin our lives, our physical life, our psychological life, our spiritual life, our relationships with people. Let me say it again. To destroy your physical body with disease or sickness or lack of discipline, health issues, psychologically, anxiety and fear and worry, spiritually, no fear of God, and then relationally, which we'll look at tonight too if we have time. I want to take the time because I want to show you something. So we are believing in the devil. I don't know where in the spectrum we would say, but in the biblical sense, biblically, there was a person called the devil that met Christ in the wilderness, and there was communication between them. The devil spoke. Christ heard. Christ answered. He overcame the temptation. Great story. Yes, amazing. After he overcame the devil in that case for 40 days, and he lived his life in obedience, and he overcame the devil, he overcame death, he overcame sin, he overcame the curse, he ascended up into heaven and sat down. Now he is our priest, and he identifies with us in our temptation. And when he sees us tempted, he is there for us. He prays for us, Hebrews 7:25. And he speaks his word to us, which is a big part of what we want to say tonight. Because the natural man, this guy that this guy that's looking for this life, he does not have any interest in the Word of God. So he cannot handle what could come to him in his lifetime that would lead him to destruction, lead him into trouble, lead him into more trouble. He does not have the equipment that is needed. It must come from this one. When you seek God and he gives us the two things, there's actually three, Holy Spirit, he gives us the Word, and I want to slow down here for a second. Jesus was constantly quoting Bible verses. Jesus was constantly teaching the Bible. When he ascended, when he rose from the dead and he met the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, he taught them everything in the Bible regarding himself, and their hearts burned within them. They knew, this is powerful. This is the Word of God. Historically, whenever a church finds the Word of God, there's a revival in a deep level in the spirit and the heart of the believer. And the believer gets hungry for the Bible. He gets hungry to hear it. He gets hungry to relate to it. He enjoys it. The scripture says it's like honey in his mouth. That's subjective. That means I taste honey. And it's also like gold that's on the outside of me as great value. So the Bible has those two values, a subjective value where I enjoy it like honey, and then objective value like money in the bank. That Bible is like gold. It has incredible value to it. Moreover, by it is the servant warned, and by keeping it there is great reward. So this is happening in this text with Jesus and the devil. Verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. What's the temptation? What is the temptation the Lord is dealing with there? I think it may go this way. I jotted it down this afternoon. I am hungry. I could die. I need bread. Does God care for me? Does God care for me, or is God going to let me die? Turn the stones into bread. God doesn't care about you, but you can turn the stones into bread. Take it on yourself and do it. Jesus is saying, I trust my Father. I trust God. That temptation is a big one in my life. How many things we turn to solve our problems? How many times we say, yeah, I believe in God, but I need a loaf of bread right now. I got to do this thing. I got to take this on myself. I got to do this. Now, how did Jesus overcome the temptation? By the Word. When you are built up in the Word, your faith will grow, and you will say, I actually believe God is in my life. I actually believe he actually is taking care of me. I actually have lived long enough to see that he is actually in many details, and he has taken care of me, and I trust him. Because it is written, what did Jesus say, verse 4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is an incredible thing. We are living in a time when the church has turned away from the Word of God. It's an incredible time where the average human being is not reading his Bible. The average human being has no interest in the Bible. He does not know what it is. He may read a verse, he may read a chapter every once in a while, but he does not feed on the Bible. He is not reading the Bible. He is not receiving the word that comes from God, that is able to build him up, that is a weapon. The Bible is a sword, Ephesians 6:12. It's a weapon against the devil. It will overcome the devil. Young men, the word of God abides in you. You've overcome the devil, overcome the wicked one, because the word of God abides in you. So, this is the second point, that this is a very real thing for us. Now, the third and last part is the story. If you read the story on the temptations, there are three of them there. I wanted to read to you a short list of the way the devil wants to destroy you. The bad habits that destroy the body. Your body is the temple of God. We have bad habits that we develop to destroy our body. We have bad thought patterns that destroy relationships, and we have pride that removes us from the fear of God. Another one of Jesus' temptations was to listen to the misapplication of Scripture for personal advantage. Some people want to hear the Bible taught their way so they can live their life and just say, the Bible says, but the Bible also says. So the devil would say, did say to Jesus, it is written, and Jesus said, again, it is written. But some people love the misapplication of Scripture because then they can live a carnal lifestyle, live in the flesh. That's a temptation for all of us. And I would like to say that if you are coming to this church and you have your Bible open, we are ready to hear what you have to say. We want you to be taught. We want you to be interactive in the relationship of the Holy Spirit fellowship in the body, to be edified in healthy doctrine. It's called 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. Healthy, sound. Sound means healthy doctrine. Sound doctrine. So, Christ had this in his encounter with the devil. And then, I think I misplaced my paper. Okay, there's that one. I think I got it here. Yes, think of this. Turn now to the story, 2 Samuel 13. Has anybody read this chapter? Do you know what this chapter is? 2 Samuel 13. Just raise your hand. Okay. Sometime in your leisure, read it a few times. And I want you to key in on a guy in verse 3. His name is Jonadab. Jonadab. He was the son, he was a nephew to David. This guy is bad news. But you don't see it so clearly unless you really read the chapter and look for what I want to share with you. He's described as being very subtle. Yes, in verse 3, he was very subtle, crafty. he shows up in the story. It's a bad time right now with David because he has committed a sin with Bathsheba. He is restored. He is recovered. But trouble is coming to his house. And the devil is in it. He is in the picture. And this guy has a certain way of thinking. If you go through the chapter, we look at verse 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. It'd be better written, he lusted after her. Has that ever happened to you guys? That you lust after a woman? Has it ever happened that it's just pure lust? It has nothing to do with love. It's just lust. It's looking for sexual gratification. It's looking for the interaction and the excitement of a lustful engagement or encounter. This guy, Ammon, had that for his sister, half-sister, Tamar. Verse 2, Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Ammon had a friend. Here we go. He had a friend. Now, we are talking about the devil destroying people, destroy relationships, destroy the body, destroy relationships, destroy a family. Destroy a family. Could that happen? Wow. It takes the devil can do that, and he is subtle, and you and I have no idea what that really means. He is so clever, so subtle. Inside, he's in your pocket, and you don't even, your money's gone. He stole it from you. Your virginity is gone. He stole it from you. And in this case, this is David, a man after God's own heart, and the devil is in his family. And he's doing a work through his nephew, Jonadab. Amazing. Why do I bring it up? Just because I'm meditating on it. I've known the story for probably some decades. I don't think I've ever preached on it except maybe at a rap or something. But just tonight, I wanted to share it with you because that phrase, the devil ruins and destroys lives to take them to hell. If he can't take them to hell, he wants to destroy their life on the earth. And that's not what God wants for you. In John 10, he wants you to have abundant life. But how? By the shepherd. What does a shepherd have? He's got a voice. The shepherd, the sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice and they follow me. And what do they find? Pasture, still waters, protection, a table in the presence of their enemies. Well, why didn't David have that? David did have it. But David also got in trouble and he's now in a time of suffering and watching his family fall apart. His family is going to fall apart. And there's an element in there that I want you to be aware of because just because I feel like speaking about it, I guess. And we hope the Holy Spirit is saying it. So look at the points. The crafty guy, what does he do? He said, this is his counsel, verse 4. He said unto him, why are you, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Number one, you are a king's son. honoring you, buttering you up, misleading you in a few sentences with counsel, and he's giving you respect. And then he's saying, verse 4, why are you lean? You've lost weight because you're not eating. Are you depressed? Tell me. Number 2, tell me what's going on with you. Tell me what's going on really in your life. Where are you really living? What is really happening to you? Tell me. Sometimes that's all the devil has to say to us, and we could tell him everything. It's like, let my sentence come forth from your presence, Psalm 17, verse 2. How about walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, being filled with the Spirit? How about, remember Samson did the same thing with Delilah. Delilah said, you don't love me. You're not telling me the truth. Tell me the truth. Remember that? But we go into the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91. We don't have to tell the devil nor our friends. We don't have to tell the devil nor our friends. Wow, what a word that is. My friends, they don't need to know everything about how I am feeling or what I'm going through. But this is easy now for the devil because this man has lust. He has no control over his lust. He has a sin nature. That lust is driving him, and he just hooked up with the perfect guy, and he spins the thing. Watch how it goes. He goes, Ammon said, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, lay down on your bed, make yourself sick, and when your father comes to see thee, okay, number 3, bring David into the story. Bring King David in to this. Drag the authority into this thing. Drag the man of God into this thing. Drag her father into this thing. Bring David into your room and ask him if he could ask your sister to bake you some food. Oh, really? Yeah. It's like a witch's brew. It's happening. And you know what? The whole thing is evil. You're going to have a woman raped. You're going to have a man murdered. You're going to have a family destroyed. You're going to have Absalom going to be the king, driving his father out of Jerusalem. And it comes from a very crafty, capable man who's very smart with how he's doing this thing. It's amazing. Look at verse 5. Jonadab said, lay down on your bed, make yourself sick. When your father comes to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And so Ammon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come. Make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar. He did it. He had no idea where this was going. But now it looks like he's part of the rape, because he's the one that sent the woman to him. And he's implicated, if you want to read it that way. He's implicated because it looks like he's part of what happened there. Go to your brother Ammon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Ammon's house. He was laid down. She took flour, kneaded it, made cakes, did bake the cakes. She took a pan, poured them out. But he refused to eat. Ammon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out, every man from him. And Ammon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them into the chamber to Ammon, her brother. How much detail is in there? There's a lot of detail in there. I think it's like something that could happen today. Any one of us. I think it's a story of people. Like, we can't control our passion or cannot control our temptations. We don't know how to deal with temptations. We're not good at it. But Jesus came to say, "You can do this. I overcame it, and you also. Because I broke the power of sin. I paid the penalty of sin. I broke the power of it by crucifying your old sin nature. You are free. Simply abide in me. You have the authority from my Father to overcome temptation and to live another life. But if you seek that life that is the natural one, you don't have what it takes to overcome the temptation. You don't have what it takes to be with a company of people and not agree with their lies or their errors or their misreading the scripture or their application or their indifference or their pride. I don't have it." But the third thing that we got from this life, this one here, one, Holy Spirit, two, the Word, and the three is the body of Christ, which is where you are sitting tonight in a portion of the body where we talk about these things. Bring them up and talk about them and think about it. Wow. David, I feel sorry for you, David. You are dragged into this thing, and Absalom is going to become your enemy because that woman was his sister. And he's going to have a root of bitterness against you, David, for the rest of his life. And he's going to become an enemy. And it's the work of evil, in an operation of evil with the flesh of man, the craftiness of the devil's messenger. And by the way, at the end of the story, he's like shining as a little hero. Look at verse 32 and we'll finish. "And Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, 'Let not, because the word came that all of David's sons were murdered. All of them were killed.'" And Jonadab had the inside scoop on it. "No, David, not everybody is." It says, "Only Ammon is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart." Listen to Jonadab. "Now, David, don't let this bother you that much to think that all the king's sons are dead. No, not all of them are dead, only Ammon." You know, so he's like, he's like talking to David this way. Verse 34, "But Absalom fled. The young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked. There became much people by the way of the hillside behind him." Verse 35, "And Jonadab said unto the king, 'Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is.'" Could we make a highlight of that? Jonadab is saying, "Your sons come, they are alive, as I said." Jonadab, you're such a nice guy. "I don't trust you. You're an evil man. You're behind this thing. You are a tool of the devil." And many times in life, these things happen to David. They can happen anywhere in the world. I honestly believe the devil is capable of incredible things. But if your life is covered by God, if you're delivered from the path of the destroyer by the word of his mouth, you are hidden in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. If you are spirit-filled, then you have love and satisfaction in your heart. On the outside, yes, these things happen in families, they happen in churches, they happen nationwide. Nationwide, greater grace could be dragged into something we don't even know what they're talking about. But just our name is dragged into something we don't even know what they're talking about. But you are innocent and loving. And so when Jesus Christ was brought into, he knew all about it. But do you watch it? Do you see how evil men crucified him? Do you see how the world is evil? Do you understand that we are disciples of Christ and that these things are part of our life? And the only thing, actually, the sure thing for every one of us always in every situation is the comfort that comes from these words. And you learn how to live. Do not be like a Jonadab. Do not be a crafty, clever, politically capable manipulator, mover. Be simple, pure, without guile. Be humble before God. Seek the kingdom of God, and God will take care of us, and he will do it. Okay, so I think that's it. Amen. Okay. Lord Jesus, this is a message for our hearts to follow up on and think about. It's a message pointing to the importance of hearing what you have to say so we can overcome the devil and he will flee from us. Also, the lies and deception that can happen amongst people could be brought out into the light. Take the microphone, please. Tell us what you really mean, what you're really saying. Who are you? What spirit are you of? Where is that in the scripture? What do you have to say that's clear that we discern spirits and understand who people are in your kingdom and fellowship in the spirit? Oh God, that churches, we would rediscover the Bible. We would find the value of it. We'd learn to be wise in an evil world and overcome in our temptations. If anyone here tonight, you have some struggle and lust. It happens periodically, maybe with different people, overwhelming amount of lust that controls their lives. The devil can destroy your body. The devil can destroy your emotions. The devil can take away the fear of God out of your heart. The devil can do all of that. You cannot let that happen to you. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To sit in the church and just listen and be available to God and ask God to speak to your heart and then to take it home and to apply it and believe you and trust you, Lord. Praise you, God, for these things tonight. Thank you for this assembly and for this impartation of thought to our hearts and minds, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.